AFND presents Mercs and Monsters is an adult podcast. If you compared us to movie ratings, we'd be rated R. See episode notes for details.
Welcome back to All Flex No Dex. I am your story weaver tonight. My name is Tony Spangler. Today we continue our journey with Ash the Mercenary in the TTRPG Rifts. Since the world is coming to an end, and the episode needs to air before Rifts opens, let's get back into the action.
Okay, so you're just leaving the Techno Gremlins then. Do you just head straight for the clinic?
Yes.
Okay. It doesn't take you too long to get to the clinic. The town's bustling about, and you know there's all sorts of people coming and going of various races and species, human and otherwise.
What kind of clinic is this again?
It's like a free clinic. It's like a walk-in clinic.
A medical clinic.
Yes. Okay. And it's open. It's in the kind of the slums area, and it's not too far from Techno Gremlins. But it's open to everybody, DVs and humans. It's non-discriminatory. However, it doesn't get any funding because of that. So that's why it's in the suburb area.
Racist.
Yeah. Why don't you roll me a... Do you have DB's lore, or do you just have the reference disc?
I have demons and monsters and fairies and creatures of magic. And magic. So no DB lore. So I'll have to use my reference guide if I want to look up something specific.
Okay. So why don't you go ahead and roll that?
There's a roll? What am I rolling?
It's still a skill check.
Is it?
Yeah. The base is 25% plus 5% per level.
See, that's not even fair. I have a whole freaking, essentially a dictionary book on DBs, and I get a 12% to look up an entry on a type of DB.
Yeah. Well, roll it. I'll tell you what you know.
Ugh. I'm sickened.
Whatever.
46.
Okay, so it doesn't mean you don't learn anything. Okay, you say plus losnik and it doesn't know what you're talking about. You say plus newsnik and you start getting somewhere with that. Eventually you say it correctly. I'm sure I'm saying it correctly.
Incorrectly?
No, correctly. I think I looked up how to say it before. I could be wrong. Who the fuck knows? Anyways, well, somebody knows. Somebody listening to this someday will know. But so with the fail check, you're not going to know details, is what I'm going to say.
Okay.
So you look up the reference, you know what they look like. So you know, plus losniks look very humanoid. They look very, very attractive humanoids. They're also very tall. Tall, pale, and somber. But they also act very professional and proud, proudly do their services.
Oh, tall, pale, and somber is like me.
Yes, except I think they're taller than you. The what? Average height is about 7 feet.
Oh, yeah, totally. I'm only 6'3".
Yeah, so very tall. The impression I kind of get is like a butler, like upstanding butler that's been... turn into a vampire, like that kind of look to them. They're very tall, shoulders back, look, you know, very professional and well-to-do, but very, like, to the point and, yes, sir. Mm. Does that make sense? Are you getting a picture?
Yes, I'm getting a picture.
Or, like, I think the butler from Helsing.
Oh, okay.
That's what the reference disc is able to tell you. It's a very short blurb on it. There's a lot of DBs in the world, and this just didn't have very extensive catalog of the Pulsolosniks.
Or I'm missing other references to them in the guide.
Yeah, there could be somewhere else. But this is the main reference, and this kind of lightly tells you about what they look like and their demeanor.
Do they tend to be goodly? Does it say anything about that?
They tend to... Yeah, for the most part.
Okay. And what do I know about this one in particular? Is he a doctor here at the clinic?
He works at the clinic, but that's about as much information as you got.
All right.
They're very much, like I was saying, they're professional. They're very much to whatever duty they're doing, that's their duty. That is their job. They focus on that. They're professional about that. So if he's working at the clinic, he's there for the people. That's what he's doing.
Okay. Stroll in.
So you go in there, and there's one other person. It's a younger human. She has her hair tied back, her red hair tied back in a ponytail, and she's bustling about and like moving things and packing things up and cleaning something off. And the clinic itself seems to be kind of open. There aren't multiple rooms. There's just like several beds in a large house. It's like kind of like think like a small storage room.
Okay. With cots and things?
Yeah, yeah. That would be like a little roller cart that has some implements on it that probably aren't as sanitary as they should be for a clinic. Like scalpels and little ice scoopers or whatever it is on carts in Rift's world. Screwdriver, I'm sure, and, you know, scraper for scraping things. And there is a very tall and slender man that wears a blood-stained apron that is examining a body towards the back of the room. He's kind of like bent over and examining it.
Hmm. Okay.
There are a few other people that are laying in cots. And they seem to be either sleeping or they're kind of just they're laying there, like one's reading a book, the other one's just kind of like staring off in space.
Okay. Is anybody going to acknowledge me when I walk in?
When you walk in, no. The tall, slender man is busy examining the body over there, whatever he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the other gal is doing busy work.
Is there like a counter or a reception area?
Nope.
Okay. Just stand and observe for a couple minutes and see if anybody's going to acknowledge me.
Okay. As you're standing and observing, it looks like the man is, like, every now and then he'll pull up this little notepad and he'll take, like, notes. And the woman's going around and she has, like, a can of aerosol, whatever it might be, and, like, spraying off implements. There doesn't seem to be any running water in here.
Ah.
So you see her, like, go over to, one of the little roller carts next to one of the beds, and she sprays everything with this solution, and then goes over, and there's, like, jugs of water over in another corner, and so she, like, pours some out for, like, cups, like, pouring into cups, and then she's going around to the patients that are there and giving them water. She does, gives about two or three people some water before she does notice you. She goes, oh, how can I help you? Are you okay?
Yes, no medical treatment needed. I am here to see Lolvamov.
I'm sorry, who?
I'm sure Ash would say it better. This is me not really knowing. Lolvanov. Lolvanov.
Lolvanov, sir. And the man is examining the body across the room, stands up and looks over to you. And it looks like he has like some scarring across his face that's been stitched up. It's kind of peculiar looking. But otherwise, his hair is slicked back and very like neatly groomed. He has no facial hair. And he looks to be, by humanoid standards, like human standards, he seems to be older. But you're not sure if that's just how the DBs look per Pulsosniks. He nods and he wipes his hands off on a rag that he has and comes to you and says, yes, how can I help you?
Ash will kind of look around pointedly to the other people in the room and say that he's here on behalf of the, it would be on the, on behalf of Texas Headhunters, right?
Yeah.
On behalf
of the
Tennessee
Headhunters.
Goes,
yes, there is a debt that is owed. I have the credits owed, but please let me finish my shift here at the clinic. Then you can escort me back to my abode, and I will retrieve the credits owed to you.
Right. When will that be?
Probably another 3 hours.
Okay.
Provided emergencies don't come in. Or more of these bodies. And he gestures to the body that he was looking at.
Ash will glance over there.
That's the security guard from last night that you were talking to.
Hmm. What happened to that guy?
I don't know. It seems like he had brain hemorrhaging, but there are lacerations on his body, though not fatal.
Hmm. All right, well, I will come back in about 3 hours then, I suppose. Don't run, or I will hunt you down.
Oh, I will be here. I will see you then.
Okay.
So what are you going to do for 3 hours? As Lobanov goes back to his business, the gal asks, we do have some things for sale. Do you need anything before you go? We don't have much. We have a couple of first aid kits and healing salves. If you're with the headhunters, I know your job then must be rough sometimes.
Oh, it certainly can be.
They do have a couple of first aid kits, some protein healing salves, and some bandages, if you're wanting any.
I'll just restock on my first aid kit supplies.
Okay. So they got four of them, and they're 200 credits apiece.
I don't need four first aid kits. But I'll pay for one of them and scrounge out of it.
Okay.
And hand her back what I don't need so they can use it. You said 200?
Yeah. So she thanks you. And what are you going to be doing for 3 hours?
Probably go back and fiddle with my power armor.
Okay. Is there anything special you want to do with your power armor at that time? Or just fiddle fuck around, waste time?
Just waste time, making sure everything's polished up and tightened up and nobody's messed with it since they left it last, and just kind of tinker here and tinker there.
Okay. So you... you tinker and fill the fuck around with it, and about 3 hours goes by, and you go back to the Posloznik in his clinic, and he's all done and cleaned up, and it looks like when you glance back, the body's covered now, but there are like red splotches here and there that weren't there previously. But he's all cleaned up, and he's like wiping his hands off in a rag. The gal is nowhere to be seen, but the others are asleep. There is a younger man that's there now with short-cut black hair, and he has like a chair set up and looks like he's about to eat lunch. Probably like a shift change.
Right.
Lol here is like, back just in time. If you will follow me, I will take you to my home and give you what is due.
Okay, lead the way.
So very long and very, they're pronounced steps, but like gangly long legs, you know, like very slow, walking like a tree end over here. deliberate is what I was thinking, very deliberate steps.
Very precise.
Yes. So you guys go on down. It's getting toward dusk, we'll say. But you don't go too far. He doesn't live too far away. There's the outside of his home, kind of like attached to a ramshackle duplex. And the outside looks like absolute trash. But when he opens up the front door, you kind of see in, and it's very meticulous. Things are very precisely organized, and everything is spotless in here.
That makes sense for what I've seen so far.
See, he when he opens the door, he goes in, and he says, give me a moment. And he walks over, and you see, he doesn't go too far, he doesn't break out a line of sight. There's a picture frame that is, it looks like a picture of him and his family, because there's another woman that's like the same size and height as he is, and then there's a smaller plus nose dick that's standing next to him too, another male, and they all have like dead serious somber faces on. Very like Ravenloft, Adam's Family kind of. And so he removes the picture, and there's a vault safe there. And so he steps between you and the safe and punches in his code, and he grabs a couple of sticks, and they're credit sticks. And so he brings them over, and he has a handful of them. You know that upon checking them, you'll see he owed 40,000 in credits, and he hands over 40,000 in credit sticks. You check each of them like you did with Vasir.
Okay.
And he has what was due. And when he hands them over and you're checking them, and he says, our transaction here is now complete.
Agreed.
Thank you.
Thank you. I always appreciate an easy collection. Unlike that fucking Dylan guy.
I do not know who a fucking Dylan guy is. But I hope you fare better. Now, if there is nothing else I can help you with.
Don't suppose you know anything about the Black Hand, do you?
Let's see. I do not.
Do you happen to know where I could find more information on the Black Hand without getting killed?
Is that a disease, a person, or an organization?
Oh, I apologize. Criminal organization.
Ah, I would say to go and ask the local authorities. However, that's who was dead on my table today. You could go further into town and inquire with an investigator. However, I would not know anything that would be prevalent to you.
I already tried the local authorities. They were pretty closed mouth on the subject. But thank you.
I am sorry I could not be of more assistance.
Take it easy, Skinny. Turn around and head off.
Okay. Did you have your armor on this whole time? Could he see that you're a Psystalker?
Does my suit come with a full helmet?
It does. You'd have to take the whole helmet off.
Oh, right. Yeah, I think we've established before that I do take off the helm when in interactions with people.
Okay. That doesn't change the dialogue at all. It's just whether or not he'd remember you later.
Okay.
If he's, you know, he's brought up. Always like reusing NPCs. Anyways. So, yeah. What are you doing now? Were you wanting to try to get Dylan, or are you just going to go straight back to the headhunters and be like, hey, that's part of the black market. You guys need to deal with that.
I think I was going to go back and talk to the headhunters first.
Okay.
and see what they wanted me to do. I think that was my plan. Because it only is going to take me like an hour to get back there, half an hour or something to get back there, right?
Yeah.
At full speed.
Yep.
Okay. So then, yeah, go hop into my power armor and find a place I can take off.
Okay. As you are going back, this is not exactly the richer area. It's still kind of, it's not like super bad slums, not ghetto. However, it's not the best place, you know.
Right.
On your way back, before you round the next corner to get to the shop, a 3 foot tall, it looks like a loaf of bread.
Excuse me, what?
Legs and arms walks into the street and stops you. And then pulls out a sword. Shing.
A loaf of bread.
Yes.
With arms and legs. Is pulling out a sword.
Mm-hmm. It's going up with you. Roll initiative.
Oh, God. Ash is going to laugh.
You do smell supernatural.
Oh.
And roll initiative with the attack roll.
Wait, what do you mean?
It's an attack roll. It's a roll that's attacking you.
Oh, my God. Oh my God. Is this a demon, a monster, a fairy, or a creature of magic?
Creature of magic.
Okay. What do I know about attack rolls?
You gotta roll the skill.
Okay, so initiative first. Oh, remind me about initiative and rifts. Where are we?
It's a d20 plus your initiative bonus if you have any.
Oh, yes, I have a +3. Okay. That'd be a 15 for Ash.
Well, the attack roll rolled a natural 1. It has just recently risen. So it can't roll very fast. It has tiny little legs that look like BMO legs from Adventure Time come charging at you.
Oh my God. Ash is just gonna be like, what the hell is going on? All right. Defensive stance and kind of rack my brain for a second on what I know about attack rolls.
Okay, go ahead and roll it.
All right. Creature of magic. 40%. Okay. No, that's 67.
What the fuck is this?
Oh, God, okay.
That's the only thing you can think of as it charges you. As you're being attacked by bread.
All right, I'll pull out my energy pistol in one hand and my knife in the other.
Okay.
Attempt to take a shot at it with the energy pistol. I just add the bonus I have here next to the weapon, right?
Yeah.
Nine points of damage.
You see it blows a significant hole through the side of the roll, and it kind of like stumbles, and you can see the little, it looks like maybe like raisins or seeds that are his eyes. And like a crease in the dough that makes his mouth, and it kind of like grimaces a little bit. And like keeps running at you, and the smell of burnt bread wafts into your nose.
Oh, God. All right.
But he keeps coming at you, and he lunges at you with his little sword.
Dodge.
I got a 15 to hit.
Can I dodge a sword? Takes an action, right?
Yeah, or you can parry it. That doesn't take an action. And you drew your dagger.
Then I'll parry. Nineteen.
Okay, so you parried it. Ching! Your attack.
Actually want to activate a psionic ability.
Okay.
Intuitive combat. lasts for 2 rounds per level.
And does it give you a host of combat abilities?
Yeah.
Okay.
Am I still only level 2?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Okay, so it lasts for 4 rounds.
Okay.
10 ISP.
Alright, now it's his deck. Swipes at you again. Tries to cut at your ankle. That's a 14.
I'll parry again. Yeah, that's a 27.
Okay, your attack.
Or sorry, not a 27, that's a 24.
Wildly above his roll.
Okay.
He's an attack roll. Doesn't mean he's a good attack roll.
Poor little guy. I'm going to feed off of you. Speaking of which, do I get to drain them like while they're still alive?
You would have to sacrifice them. So to siphon the PPE off the living creature, you have to be ready to siphon it upon moment of death. So that's why there's sacrificial rituals, is they prepare to siphon the PPE as soon as a knife strikes, like think someone's laying on a table and you strike into their heart.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they die, the PPE is released and they have to be feeding off it. So you can't do that during combat, if that makes sense. You don't. When you get the final killing blow, it needs to be deliberate because you need to be ready to siphon it right then upon the killing blow. So if you wanted to restrain this attack roll and sacrifice it for his PPE.
It doesn't say I have to kill it. In fact, it mentions that I don't have to kill the prey. To feed without killing, the predator must hunt down a psychic, practitioner of magic, creature of magic, or supernatural monster, and psychically capture the prey. Cut it and drain it of its available PPE points. Other than the cut, 1d6 SDC or 1d4 MDC, minor magic beings and mages temporarily lose all PPE. As the Psystalker gorges himself on as much as 300 PPE in a single sitting against creatures of great magic, hundreds or thousands of PPE, the Psystalker feasts on 300 points and causes another 1d4 times 100 to dispel into the surrounding area, where it can be fed upon by other Psystalkers.
Okay, well, you need to cut them first.
I blasted a big hole in him.
That's not cutting them, and it's cauterized. It's a laser. Burnt toast. It's not an open wound. You need to cut a bitch.
All right, well, attempt to cut a bitch then.
Yeah.
Natural 20!
He did not get a natural 20 to parry.
Let me see what kind of blade it is.
I think you have a vibro knife.
Okay.
You've used it before, so let's go with that. You have a vibro knife.
Okay, I'll write it down just to make sure.
Vibro knife does 1d6 mega damage.
4. Do I get any bonuses? I have +9 to my damage for hand to hand.
That's for SDC.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
However, you double that because you got natural 20.
Sweet. So 8 MDC.
So you guys go ting ting, and have like a intense samurai battle here in the middle of the street, and then very anime style, I go shing, and kind of hold there for a second, and the poor little attack roll slides in half, and he is dead.
How much PPE do I get?
None, because you killed him.
What? No, I can.
The PPE is dispersed into the atmosphere.
I can still feed off of it.
You weren't. No, you can't.
Yeah, it even says if it's a big guy, like I read to you, if it's a big guy, yes, you release it out into the air for other Psystalkers to feed from.
If he's still living, you cut him. He's a living conduit for the PPE. Harvesting PPE from a dead creature, you have to be ready to harvest it upon death. You're trying to just kill him. However, he's a roll of bread, so you cut a little too vigorously.
Whatever.
So you pick up half a roll and you start quickly sucking on it. There is no PPE to be had.
Whatever.
However, it does taste like delicious sourdough.
I don't need to literally eat it in order to eat the PPE. Well, that was weird. Get the psychic scent of it and try to follow it back to its source.
Okay, do you, is there a tracking roll that goes with that?
Yes. Okay, this ability enables him to stalk or track a specific psychic scent. Base skill, 20 plus 5 per additional level of experience. If the side stalker has a bit of the creature...
lots of bits.
The ability to follow the trail enjoys a bonus of plus 20%. So I have 50% then.
So you pick up half of the roll.
I just tear a piece of it off. I don't need all that much. I don't need the whole half a roll.
So you take a piece of his doughy flesh.
Yeah, I do. Just rip it off. smells delicious.
Aside from the burnt bit from the pistol, there is still the smell of burnt bread in the air.
Burnt toast. That's okay. I don't eat normal food anyway, so.
You're not sure if you're having a stroke or not.
78% does not make it.
It's that burnt smell that's getting you. It's, you know, that's all you can smell right now. It's overpowering any other scent currently. You can't quite get a bead on where this attack roll came from.
Take a big sniff and see if I can sense any powers being used within a radius of me. If powers are actively being used, I have 800 feet. If they are not being used, if a power is not actively being used, I only have 90 feet right now.
So there's no passive powers being used within 90 feet. Actively being used within 800 feet, there are 3 users.
Okay. Which one's the closest?
Probably 150 feet west of you. It's also a big city, and you know there's magic users here.
Yeah, I know. I'll still go that way.
Knock on someone's door. Hey, is this your bread? So you start sauntering over there. The ping only lasts for so long, and then it stops. So whoever was casting is done casting now. But you have the scent, so you get there, and you get to the... It looks like another ramshackle house.
Does it smell like the bread's energy?
No. Oh.
All right. I was more looking for somebody, like, waiting in the shadows and watching this interaction to
somebody
see it.
Like, gating in bread rolls.
Yeah.
You're fairly confident it's not this person.
Okay. Do I still feel any magic being used?
Well, you can just sense supernatural creatures within your close radius, right?
Yes. Sense supernatural beings is... If they're not using their powers, 50 feet per level, so 100 feet if they're not using their powers. And if they are using their powers, 1,200 feet.
Yeah, they're in there. They're supernatural, not using their powers.
Oh, in here?
In this building, yeah.
Okay. But it doesn't smell like the bread.
No.
Okay. No, I meant of the other 3 that I pinged before, are any of those still active?
No.
All right. Well, fine. I'll continue to head back to my power armor then.
Okay.
I'm just mumbling about how fucking weird that was.
Fuck.
Reminding myself to do some more research on attack rolls when I get back to the camp.
So you get back to your power armor, and it's there. It's all ready to go. You just suit up and start flying.
Well, I know I make a bit of a ruckus when I'm taking off because of the jets and whatnot. So. I would want to get to a relatively clear area, not inside this poor guy's mechanic shop.
Yeah, that would be appreciated.
Yeah.
Are you going to do anything about Kimmel and Jackal, or are you just going to leave them to their devices?
Oh, I don't care about them.
Okay.
Leave.
All right. So, yeah, you take off and you fly back. Why don't you roll me a D6?
Roll a D6. That's not a D6. Uno.
So as you're flying back, it doesn't take very long, by about half hour to an hour at the most. You do see something as you're flying at Mach speeds. There seems to be some sort of supernatural humanoid creature that you're flying up on. Just one.
I can sense it.
As you're coming up, then you have about one action before you get over it and then past it. But your headset pings it before you do.
Mm. Can I get any data on it, either psychically or in my sensors?
Your sensor is pinging as an unknown.
Okay.
There's no data entered for this creature.
What does it smell like?
So, it smells like a supernatural creature that's not actively using its abilities.
Does it try to follow me? As you, I pass over it?
No.
Okay.
So you pass over, and it like looks up for a second, like, and that's it. If you want a little perception check, you can see if like you're like looking down on it, see if you actually catch any
visuals
or anything specific about it.
What am I rolling again?
Perception.
Which score is that?
It's not a score.
Oh.
Let me go over this a couple of times. I think you have like a +4 or something. You always find it after the fact.
Hmm. I wrote it down.
There you go. Put some highlighter on that.
Dirty 20.
Holy cow. Okay. So with a dirty 20, the way the chart works, you notice all the details. So you're focused in on that, and you just make sure your flight trajectory is like going on the set path.
Autopilot.
So, yeah. It looks to be about 5 feet tall, and it has one gnarled and massive protruding horn coming from his face out of his head, like right between the thighs. Its flesh looks rough and very old looking, like old dried leather. It is completely hairless and has two eyes, but they're about 4 inches in diameter on each side. You don't see any mouth on it, and its fingers look to be like three-fingered hands, and no toes. Looks to be completely nude, but there's no genitalia. Every step it takes leaves a little kind of like light burn mark in the grass that's walking.
Oh, this is all the way down on the ground?
Yeah, it's not flying.
Oh.
You're flying over it.
Would I really be that close to the ground?
You got a dirty 20 with your perception check. With your sensors and all that, like, you didn't tell me how high you were flying, so.
Oh, I just figured I'd be flying pretty dang high. But, okay.
If you're flying high, then just, I don't know, we'll say you have telescopics on your headset. Most of those with the power armor, the headgear usually has some sort of telescopic means for it, so.
Or we could say my scanner picked it up and then I flew lower to see what it was.
Sure.
But what is this thing? You described it, but what is it?
Roll under demons.
21.
You've heard of something that looks like this, and there aren't any scriptures or documentations giving an actual name. The last time you read about anything, these creatures were seen like during the apocalypse. So it was just labeled as a demon. So you're not sure if it actually comes from Deval, the plane or the planet of devils, or Hel, H-E-L, or if it's even a demon. You just know that it was called a demon.
Some sort of demonic-esque creature.
Yeah. It did reportedly seem to recoil from like crosses, kind of like you'd ward away a demon from ancient Christianity.
Right.
But otherwise, it has all the attributes of what your stereotypical demon would have. It's fiery. It eats people, so forth.
Got gross leathery skin.
Yeah, gross leathery skin, weird horn.
Okay.
Strange eyes, no mouth.
Check, check, check. Mm. I'll try to take its psychic scent so that maybe I can come and feed off of it on the way back.
So the psychic scent, do you actually have to smell it?
Like physically smell it?
Yeah.
No. It's a psychic thing.
So in your opinion and the description of the race, does it take any sort of amount of time? Because you're flying by it at Mach speeds.
Yeah, I guess so.
Do you guys take any time to like register something? You're going far too fast for that.
Let's see what the power says. We'll decide from there.
We'll see. Even since you got that dirty 20 with the perception check, you use a combination of your own eyesight and the power armor's analytics, and like took like quick snapshots. Like you flew down and then saw what you saw, but then had the power armor take snapshots so you could analyze it further, and that's how you saw all the details on it.
This is a natural ability like a human sense of smell. The moment a psychic scent is within the creature's range, he recognizes it and responds to it accordingly. So it's like it literally says it's a momentary thing.
Okay. Then, yeah, there's no roll, right? It'll be a later roll if you're trying to specifically...
Yeah, if I was trying to track it or stalk it, then I would have to roll.
Okay.
And I would not get the bonus for having a piece of it.
Okay. You want to make a note of that? But you fly down, fly by, take a big whiff, and keep on flying. The whole interaction happens so fast that it barely clocks you. It looks in your direction, but it's more of like, the fuck was that?
Can we say it's outside of... Where was it?
Outside of Merktown.
Noted.
Yep. So you zoom back into Merktown. It is dark now at this point. Merktown's not asleep, though. Merktown doesn't sleep.
Go back to my assigning officer or whoever that might be who gave me the mission.
Yeah, so you go in, you power down the power armor and stop flying because there's no fly zones in Merktown because everyone's in power armors and robots and whatnot.
But they have specific places to like dock them, right?
Yeah. So you go and you park and register your power armor, and you're with the guild, so it doesn't cost you anything. And you know they filter it away, and it cycles your power armor into a underground facility, kind of like a an iRobot when he parks his car.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that.
I'll make sure and click my locky button.
Mm-hmm, the eyes flash. Boop boop
boop boop.
and you go about, you go into the office and turn in what you got.
Yeah. And ask about this Black Hand business. And Dylan.
So, how do you approach it? Tell me, that's like, how can I help you?
I'm here to turn in the collection from, I forgot what the town was called.
I think it was Orsol.
From the three debts from two of the three debts in Orsol, but I had an issue with the last one.
And she's at the computer and she's, and you are?
Ash.
She's a tippy tappy. you were on a escort mission, yes?
Yes.
How'd that go?
The escort went fine.
He bay up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was fine. Ran into some trouble with... Oh, what are those frickin' pirates called? On the river.
River pirates?
They have a different name, but yeah, essentially.
Do you describe them?
Yeah.
Okay, it's Haroon pirates.
Haroon pirates.
Like, yeah. It's strange. Usually Haroon pirates are out at sea, but it's not unheard of for them to be on the river. I'll note that. the third collection that you're doing?
Dylan. He's in there, right?
Yes. Why did you not collect on Dylan?
Well, apparently he's a member of a local black market fencing gang called the Black Hand.
And he's tied with the black market?
Yeah, the Black Hand is.
You have proof of this?
From the data I pulled from the computer, would that have...
Did you pull specific data from... Or did you just see it? I think you just looked at it in the chart check.
I went into the matrix, essentially.
Right.
And was pulling file cabinets out and...
But that ability only allows you to read information, right? Not steal it or copy it? You didn't copy it to a data disk. You only read it. And you went in with your psionic ability only.
Okay.
So there was no, like, drive that you took in with you or any way that you could have copied it, from what I remember. Unless you could replicate it with psionics.
I don't see how I could. I have limited psionic powers.
The more I think back on it, I remember you went straight to the computer.
And I just put a hand on it.
Yeah, so you didn't use any data disk or anything to copy any information, you just looked.
No. So no hard proof. Personal proof, but nothing that I could pass along without a mind read.
Notes. Is Dylan Slapp still alive?
To the best of my knowledge, yes. He was protected by his associates.
Did you harm any of them?
No.
Did they attack you?
No, I managed to sidestep that situation.
Your efforts here are appreciated. If you don't mind, we'll have another psionic do some readings on you to see what information can be garnered, and then we have another job for you if you are open to it.
So Dylan's not my problem anymore?
No.
Okay.
We're going to get the information and then settle this diplomatically. Last thing Tennessee headhunters want is having issues with the black market.
Okay. I kind of figured that might be the case.
So they take you into a room, and after a little while, there's you can smell it on them, very potent psionic energy.
Mm.
It's probably a master psionic.
He smells tasty.
And he walks in the room, and like your nose flare and your eye twitches a little bit, and he's just like, "Gonna be all right with me doing this, or are we gonna have issues?"
No, I'm gonna be all right. I just kind of hungry.
He pulls out a bit, like one of those chew bits. He says, "Do you want to clamp on down on this? This shouldn't take long, but I need you to stay focused and not to try to kill me. And I need all of my energy, and I don't need you siphoning it."
Ash will sigh and grab the bitey thing and stick it in his mouth.
So when you bite onto it, there's actually kind of a soft gel that's on it, and it kind of numbs you almost instantly. And it dulls all of your senses. Think of like you just ate a really hard-hitting THC gummy, but it peaks as soon as you bite into it.
Okay.
So you're almost kind of like dazed as you're biting into it. And you can sense that he's doing something with sonic energy, but otherwise you're not getting overwhelmed. Like you're not wanting
by his essence.
Yeah, you're not wanting to feed on him. You're not like, oh God, there's something right next to me. You're just kind of in a daze. After a while, it seems like you hours, but after a little while, he does remove it from your mouth, and it takes a couple of minutes and a couple of hard blinks, and you return back to normal. Your head clears from the fog, and he says, "Okay, I have what we need. You can leave."
Okay, thank God.
And you notice he has some sort of what looks like almost like a crystal in his hand that's glowing now.
I'd assume he transferred the memories in there.
Maybe.
Kind of like...
Do you have magic or psionic lore?
I have magic lore, yes.
You can roll it to see if it's magical in nature.
I know it's magical. It's glowing.
There's a difference between magical items and psionic items.
All right. About 40% on magic lore. Woo!
Okay. So you don't know what that item is, but you're fairly certain it's that you can't confirm it's not magical. That is a psionic device. A lot of psionic devices are crystal oriented.
Mm.
They resonate better as psionic energies.
Probe my own memory, and does it feel like I'm missing anything? Am I missing time? Did he, like, steal memories from me, or did he just copy stuff?
Roll a perception check.
That one I have plus four to whip. A dirty 20 again.
It seems like your memories are all intact. They're all there.
Okay.
It doesn't feel like there's gaps, like you're knocked out and you don't remember what happened between point A and point B.
That's what I was worried about.
Seems like everything is there.
Okay. Then I'll walk out.
Okay, and you go get your next job?
Yeah, I don't want to be sniffing this guy anymore. He makes me hungry.
Okay. So you hurried out, and he also hurries out. Make sure he goes the opposite direction. <you're going. laughs> So the next job that's given to you, they tell you that it's a hunt, which is up your alley, more fitting to you and your skill set.
Yeah, besides sneaking around town.
Yes, so it's a hunt for a rumored escaped mutant out of Texas.
A mutant?
Yes, and it's common knowledge. Lone Star down in Texas has done a lot of mutant creatures like Dog Boys. Coalition has never publicly announced that they did other mutations, but in all rumor mills, there's every variation of mutant that's come out of Lone Star. So somebody that's very rich wants you to retrieve this mutant that's escaped. An incredibly wealthy backer will pay 1 million credits for the return of this creature's head.
1 million credits?
Mm-hmm. And they don't want it returned alive. They want it dead.
All right.
And they want the head as proof so you can't vaporize it.
Okay. Does this creature have a name or a description?
The name is not known. It is rumored to have fled to the Florida swamps south of here. The description, and the lady kind of, it's the same receptionist at the desk, and she waits a sec, and she's, do you know what a penguin is?
That some kind of fairy?
No. It is a flightless bird that was native on Earth before the cataclysm happened.
Oh.
Supposedly this mutant is a mutated penguin.
Do you have a picture of a penguin?
She does.
Wow.
I happen to have a National Geographic right here, which is amazing because that's pre-ris National Geographic, so the pages are all worn.
She's like a collector or something.
Yeah, I'm happy you asked. And she like flips over. She's like, I was just looking at this, and shows you what a penguin looks like.
Well, that looks dopey as fuck.
Well, don't underestimate this mutant because the bird might look dopey. However, this particular mutant is reported to have very strong psionic powers and has also learned the magical ways of shifters as well.
Hmm.
If you want to roll your lore magic, he'll tell you more about shifters.
Whoa, no. I have no anything about shifters. Nothing.
She's you kind of give like a funny look when she mentions shifters, and she says they're magic users, but not like ley line walkers. Shifters generally use their magic to make deals with other stronger supernatural creatures or summon minions. They can summon creatures through the rifts.
Oh.
Their magic primarily revolves around rift magic.
Okay. And the last sighting was in the Florida swamps?
Yes. That's where the creature was heading. The client had also warned us that it's also using a powerful artifact that hasn't been seen since Cataclysm.
Oh my gosh.
So, it's a lot of money, she tells you, but you're going to have to work for it.
Yeah, I can see that. Oh boy.
Should I put you down for accepting the job?
We'll give it a good old... Wouldn't be college try. What would it be?
Academy.
Mercenary try. Academy try.
Academy try.
There we go.
So, okay, I'll put you down. She types your name in. You've taken the job. Good hunting.
I'm going to need it. All right.
Okay, Monster Hunter. You have gained a level.
Woo! Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why did I write that in pen?
Oh, that was dumb. Oh, you probably did that when we didn't have a pencil available at the time.
All right.
But you're now level 3, and you're in Merktown, so we'll be able to do some shopping here before you go.
Woo! Wait, did I get a reward for doing those collections?
Yeah, they would have paid you. We'll say they give you 5,000 credits.
Okay. I should get a bonus for allowing them to siphon memories out of my head.
Well, you didn't try any persuasion checks on that, so.
That's not what Ash does.
No, well, this is what happens.
Thank you for staying tuned and listening to episode 7 of Mercs and Monsters. We appreciate every one of you for sticking around to the end of the episode. And please follow us on your various social medias, rate us, review us, and stay tuned for the next epic coming out May 3rd. Players tonight were Nicole, who played Ash, and our story weaver running the show was Tony Spangler. Take care and stay creative.